All right. So where shall we begin in our discussions, our interactions? Hello.
Galexis, you've helped me a lot in my healing process, and I'm really grateful for that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, the next thing I think I need to deal with in my process is one of the things that catches me up, I think, is my fear levels. I can actually do more than... It's hard for me in public to walk. Yeah, because I get fearful. And it's...
Do you have difficulty walking physically, or is it
physically.
Just an emotional?
Well, the emotions actually affect me physically.
All right, and so when you're in fear, how do you walk differently?
It makes it easier for me to trip and fall. Mm. You know, my gait is better when I'm relaxed and calm. Mm-hmm. And when I go into fear, it makes it much harder for me to keep my balance. I get imbalanced when I go into fear. And so, I mean, I try working with it when I'm walking. You know, I try to relax. I mean, it's gotten so much better. It used to be if a loud noise happened, I'd fall. Or, you know, if a car went running by, I'd fall. And that doesn't happen anymore. I'm slowly working through it. But I really notice that, you know, when I'm walking with somebody, it's a lot easier for me. But when I'm not that independent, you know, I still don't do it by myself that much. And I think one of the things that trips me up is my fear level.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's the ability. I think it's the fear that gets in my way.
All right. And what are you afraid of? When you looked at the fear, what was the fear of? The fear that people were looking at you and judging the way you were walking, or what was the fear?
I mean, that's in it. It's not as much now as it was. I think probably my biggest one is that I'll fall and not be able to get up, because that's actually still a piece that I'm working on. You know, and I can.
Have you ever fallen and not gotten up?
Yes.
Hmm.
Well, it's taken me a while. I've fallen in different places and kind of hung out there for a while and till I calmed down enough to actually, you know, like the third try maybe I could get up. Do you know? Mm-hmm. So it has happened.
All right.
But I'm usually not outside. It's happened inside where I've fallen down and not been able to get up, and, you know, people have come and helped me. So I'm not alone outside that often.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of it. Do you know? Or I do go out now on my own, but I go to places where I know that I'll be safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the ability, the actual physical ability is improving. It's more my fear levels, I think, trip me up.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Right. All right. So what we're picking up here is that when you are walking solitary and so on, you're distracted by input.
Mm.
It's like there's a lot of input out there. And so you're like aware of this and aware of that and aware of that and aware of all of this. And you're being vigilant.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And as soon as you're vigilant, you're out of center.
Mm.
It's your center that keeps you balanced and stable and relaxed. Okay? But there's a vigilance. And this is a leftover from your old life, you might say.
Mm.
Where you had a fear of making a mistake, or fear of a poor performance of some level. And it doesn't necessarily need to be visual performance, but any kind of task, you had to do it well. Do you remember those days?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that the slave driver, or for you, is oriented to you have to do everything perfectly. And even though you may not be fully engaged with the slave driver, it doesn't really have much of a role or function in your life at this point. This is its residual. And what the slave driver did for you was basically to scatter you. It kept you scattered about where other people were at. Where are they at? What are they thinking? What are they feeling? What's going on in my environment? I've got to protect myself. I've got to defend myself. So I've got to be aware of everything so I don't, and this is the perfection thing. I've got to be aware of everything so that nothing escapes my attention, so I'll be prepared in case of anything. You understand that one?
I do.
Mm-hmm. It's not that you're consciously there, but this is an old subconscious program. It's an automatic, subliminal kind of energy that just goes along with you. When you have a person there, you have, in a sense, a buffer to all of that. You don't have to pay attention to everything. It's almost as if, okay, I've got protection. I've got a person I'm walking with, so I have protection. It doesn't even need to be the person larger than you. It's just be any person. Doesn't,
right.
You know, anybody that's congenial with you, right?
But
overall, then the vigilance drops because you can focus on yourself and you can focus on one other. It drops the focus down. And essentially, your slave driver exits the picture. Right? So we would suggest every time that you find yourself in a situation where you need to walk by yourself, and it would be a time where you would be tempted to go back into that, or the fears would come up, or the nervousness, the tension would arise in your body, to visualize in your mind the slave driver and say, not today, and you wag your finger at him. Okay, not today. No, no, no. You know, when your grandmother did this, you know, no, no, no. So you wag your finger at them. And I say, no, no, not today. And so what you do is that you get centered into yourself and centered into your conscious awareness in your third eye. Get centered into your root chakra. And then in your mind's eye, put a beam of light or alignment right through the very center so that you are centered in your hara, your abdomen, right around the navel, maybe above or just below the navel.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a place of balance where the body finds its balance. It's balancing the top part of the torso with the lower part of the torso with the movement, with the left and the right. Balance is right there. It's kind of the center point of your body from the bottom of your feet to the top of your head. There will be a center point of balance. But what you do is that your awareness needs to be on, your root chakra needs to be connected, and then you find that place right there in the center balance. And then, as you walk, then pay attention to where you're walking. Now, if you start to feel anxious that you're missing too much input, missing too much information about what's coming on in your environment, and, oh my gosh, I'm going to miss that car that's going to drive by, you know, if you have that kind of concern, then what we would suggest is that you surround yourself in a bubble of light.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
And just seal it up really good. And this will be your buffer. Pretend like this is a person. Or pretend that this is some kind of, protector device. You can start doing that. Now, eventually you won't need a protection energy, right? But this is because you feel vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as long as you feel vulnerable, and your self-image has a vulnerable side, that's a weak side, a vulnerable side, it's going to be exposed, and so on. Then what happens is that when you enter that vigilance, there's some part of your brain function that cannot distinguish movement from outside of you with movement inside of you or in your body. So you could fall down because a car goes by because your brain is registering that your whole reality is moving. You understand?
Uh-huh.
It's kind of amplifying that information because you're in vigilant mode. And that's unique to you. It's unique to your particular physical situation. Most people don't have this, but other people who are, for example, unsteady on their feet, sometimes their brains can take in a visual input that's moving and almost get seasick for a second with it.
That happens to me sometimes.
Mm-hmm. That's right. But it's a certain a brain chemistry, brain pattern, and it generally only happens after an accident or some kind of physical imbalance is established in the body, because it doesn't have its frame of reference up in the brain and the ears and so on, inner ears and stuff. So it kind of, everything is moving if the car goes by. However, you found that you're pretty stable if you have a reference point. So you either establish this hara as your reference point, which is right here in the center of your body. And another reference point you can do is invite us in. And you have this nice column of light around you. And envision that there's kind of a form, that we have a form inside this column of light with you, and we'll walk with you.
That's nice.
All right? Or you can call your higher self or whoever you like to call. Mm-hmm. But we're willing. You know, we're happy. We'd like to take a stroll with you. But you have to understand, you know, you've got a whole bunch of spirit helpers around you all the time. You know, it's like seeing you walk down the street. If you could see what we see, a few of you are psychic, you can kind of see that, see spirit helpers and so on. You'll see that's like about 30 or 40 spirits, you know, kind of hovering around and walking, going down the street with you, you know. It's really busy out there. When you get in a big city, my gosh, it's busy. Those big, tall apartment buildings, wow, they're filled. So it has that kind of quality. But if you can visualize someone walking with you, that can also train your brain, trick your brain, because visualization and physical reality are so close to the brain, they can't distinguish it that well. So if you imagine somebody walking with you, and so if you're on a sidewalk, for example, then walk a little bit over to one side of the sidewalk, right? And leave room for this other person that you're envisioning being there, or your spirit helper, or higher self, or whoever. Okay?
Okay.
This will really reorient you. It'll keep you centered and keep you grounded. Okay?
Okay.
Because you're not going to get rid of that pattern in your brain. It's just a slight dysfunction in your brain to motion. And so it's probably going to be there for a while longer. But if you get rid of the vigilance, it will enable your brain to heal that too. Right? Vigilance slows down healing. Right? Because your energy field is small when you're vigilant. You shrink in. And therefore you're vulnerable to external circumstances. You see? And so if you will take, instead of the vigilance, the awareness, you see, and imagine, you know, there's all this light and you can call us in and we'll put a column of light around you and just get you all infused with light all up and down your spinal column and so on, and you just kind of get all that kind of, just get anchored kind of, and get aligned like that, and then you just project energy out when you walk. Try doing that. Project light through your heart, projecting light. Just see yourself as just streaming light from you as you walk. Then your orientation is going to be vastly different. And that's going to be very restorative and very healing and rebalancing for your brain. And it'll also help the improvement in your body.
That's a great suggestion.
All right. Mm-hmm. Yes, Galexis's tips. All right. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
All right. Who's next?
I am.
All right.
Hi, Galexis, it's Connie.
Oh, hi.
Hi. I've had several months that have just been a beautiful expansion for me, and they kind of culminated in what is my yearly June trade show in Las Vegas. I often set my trade shows up as kind of a intense workshop of application of all the things that I've been learning several months before. And even in this workshop,
well,
a trade show.
It is,
same
okay.
thing. Yeah, mm-hmm. Seemed like a culminating moment for me when I had these men standing at my booth, and they're all what I like to call affectionately suits. Mm-hmm. They're corporate men, mm-hmm. and they were the owners. They are the owners of the metal company that I've been using their new metal in my new line. And I experienced myself having an interaction with them that was just so comfortable and you know, normally in the past, I would judge people in the corporate world and sort of, what is it, project upon them authority figures and all of that. And it made it very hard for me to have a reasonable conversation. And I didn't do that this time. It was just wonderful. I saw them as just guys. And I had a lot of things to say to them. And I felt myself as just being me, you know, instead of putting on something or taking away something. And it was an emblematic moment for that whole trade show workshop for me. And it took me several days after that to even understand what it was, what had happened, because I was trying to understand why was that so special for me. And what came to me was that I was more myself. I seemed to bring in and invite in more aspects of myself. It's like those little globules of,
yes, yes,
of my being that I brought in, and it was like there was more Connie in the house. And I enjoyed that a lot. And when I came home, it was an almost like an instant ebb of all of that flow. And I didn't really fight it as much as I have in the past, so I'm seeing it more as the ebb and flow kind of experience rather than a snapback. But it seems to me there's something different about the nature of the ebbs and flows now. So I'm hoping that you can talk about how the nature of our ebbs and flows are changing.
All right. Well, actually, the nature of the ebbs and the flows are not changing. The nature of them, or the function of them.
Okay.
But the interpretation of them is. And your interpretation is that you're not taking them personally anymore. All right? You're not taking a person, the highs personally or the lows personally. You're just being with it. Right? Then you can utilize these ebbs and flows. Every time, and we'll say this for all of you, every time you have a high experience, a breakthrough, an aha moment, or even some, like, you put it into a sense of a workshop, there's this kind of culminating moment, there's some peak experience moment. This lifts you up, because when you have that, you're more yourself, you're more connected, you're more your light being. And when you lift to that and you expand, your energy field expands, it feels fantastic. And in a sense, you've been preparing for it and preparing for it when these types of events happen, perhaps meditating or perhaps working or whatever it is. And when the event happens, it's almost as if a response from your reality, a response from your universe. See who you are. See reflection. Here's who you are. You're more than you thought you were before. You are more now. And you go, yes, and it's a celebratory moment, right? After you have one of those, you must go into integration. You must integrate the moment. This is seen as an ebb, right? It can be as dark as a depression, but it seems that all of a sudden you shrink. And you try not to let it happen. No, 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 I'm going to keep this high energy going. But it seems that you shrink. And this type of contraction is not a contraction from fear. There's always positives and negatives of just about everything, you know? So a contraction, when your energy field is contraction, the most normal way that you contract it is because you're finding a resistance or a fear or your self-image has shrunk. But in this particular case, right after a peak, then the ebb, right after a peak, right after a high energy flow, it's a period of rest. And in this rest, all of a sudden external stuff doesn't happen so fast, perhaps. Sometimes it does. But in a sense, in that rest period, what it's saying is that, okay, now you need to take this in. You need to rest. You need to go within now. You did something really big, and there's a lot of energy you're just going through you, going out into your world, and your world gave back to you. And now it's time for you to go look at and be with your center and nurture yourself and rest a little bit and integrate what you experienced, which you did.
Right.
All right?
Right.
And when you integrate what you experience, there's a gentle, loving thing there, you know, just that you have with yourself. If you find your ebb and you say, oh no, this is not acceptable, I don't want to have this ebb doesn't feel good, and you resist the ebb, you're also resisting your integration, right? And what you want to do is have love and compassion for yourself at all times, right? So if there's an ebb, like if there's an ebb and flow in your business, for example, say you have your business, you know, you get some good stuff going, and then there's this, then this ebb and it all gets really quiet. And you can get spooked out about that. But if you think about that it came after some, a peak, if you'll integrate it and not put your slave driver back onto your case right away, you know, because that's generally the way that you kind of cancel out the integration, you'll find that it'll be a very self-loving place, and you'll feel stronger. You'll feel replenished, right? Replenished, renewed. And this part of yourself, now a permanent part of yourself, this awareness of how, yes, like for you, how you can go and relate to the suits like they're just guys.
Right.
You know? And they are, you know, some part of you had gotten intimidated by the suits.
Exactly.
And that's why they wear them.
And those ties.
Those ties, yes. If you notice those ties, they strangle guys, you know? That's why guys don't like to talk a lot, you know? Or they let all the women do the talking or something. But in a sense, why men are like trying to be the strong, silent type, it's because they're choking. Their throat chakra's shut off, right? They can't speak up. They can't speak out, you know? And so they wear the suits. And the suits, depending on the nature of the suits, will also reflect their pecking order. So it's very important for men to have the right, you know, tailored suit and blah, 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 because the suit shows their level of success, which is their level in the pecking order, right? Now, women are outside the pecking order. This is a man thing, right? And so women have difficulty getting into the boys' network, right? Because men have no clue where to put a woman in the pecking order, right? So very often, a woman will feel excluded and detached from the suits, right? And so that's what happened before, is that you were outside the pecking order, which was their totem pole of value, right? And so, in a sense, you felt outside that. You felt, in a way, excluded. You didn't know it consciously, but you were feeling that. Here's the suits, and I'm out here. I'm the creative artist. You know, I'm the wild woman thing, you know. And how in the world are they going to relate to me? I've got to kowtow and be nice and be, you know, do my woman thing that they understand, because, you know, that's what they require. Blah, blah, blah. And all that kind of crap, you know. But anyway, you were able to kind of let that go and be yourself, right?
I brought them into my world.
You brought them into, you did. You brought them into your world. And in your world, there is no pecking order.
Right, right.
It's just yourself and whoever else is themself. That's it.
Right. And they were nice guys.
And then they became nice guys. They calmed down. They didn't get tense. They just relaxed and opened up. Because you offered them safety. All right?
Great.
And you offered yourself safety. Mm-hmm. It was a gift. Mm-hmm. You gave them safety. Your reality gave you safety.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So when you integrate that, you integrate it feeling safe. You felt safe to be yourself with them. You hadn't risked it quite so much before.
Right? Never.
There was like, oh, this has got to be a professional relationship, which is detached and businesslike and, you know, in all little boxes, that kind of thing. So this time, you flowed the energy. You flowed your divine flow. This was your workshop.
Right, right. It was
all right?
Fun.
And it's an important piece, extremely important piece. You know, you've got to realize that even if you sit with the President of the United States, wearing a suit, of course, it's just another person. Anybody who's significant, you know, just another person. If you sit with a guru wearing a turban, it's another person. Don't be intimidated, you know, by where they are, how important they're supposed to be. They're no more divine than you are. They may know a little bit more. If they're a guru, they may know a little bit more. But then again, they may have a much bigger ego than yours. So you never know. So what you do is you be yourself, right? Now, integrating it in the ebb, right, will enable you to postpone getting a slave driver activated. And so you're coming out of an ebb of integration will be kind of slow and gentle. Don't rush it. Okay, because integration has to work in several levels. The physical level is the last level to integrate. Okay, so if you get active too soon before the physical level is integrated, then you have cut short your integration period. Right? And therefore, your flow is hampered a bit, and it takes a while for you to, you know, find your bearing and find your balance.
So okay. My body will give me signals clearly that I'm coming out and I can, you know, move forward that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't push it. Don't rush it. Mm-hmm. Anytime you try to rush it, say, okay, I got to get busy now. you know, the slave driver's gotten in there. You're not really integrating in yourself. You're not being centered and loving with yourself, really. Okay? Now, other kinds of ebbs are like that are come from fear or come from a sense of victimhood or a sense, a low sense of self-esteem or self-image or whatever. These ebbs can be reversed instantly. But it requires you to be aware, step into choice, and receive energy from your spirit helpers so that you can get an infusion to get yourself back up to where you need to be. And then you flow the divine energy fine once you get back up there. But if you find yourself in an ebb, then pay attention to your self-talk, right? Because the self-talk is going to tell you just exactly what's going on. That's a wonderful thing about the self-talk. It's the running commentary of your life. It's the running story. And where is your story today? If you're feeling like this, all hunched in and tight and restricted, what's the story today, right? The story today is, oh, I don't feel really up to what I need to do. I don't feel adequate to the task, or I'm afraid of what they're thinking about me. I'm afraid that I've made a big boo-boo and messed up this situation, or whatever it is. That's your self-image. Your self-talk will tell you, okay? And if that's the case, you can go out of it instantly, because that's not an integration contraction. That is a contraction of fear and stress, and it's a message from your reality that you need to take care of something. Okay, so if you feel tired too, it might also be an indication you need to take care of some kind of inner self-talk and do some healing for yourself. So, all right, thank you for that.
Thank you.
All right, who's next?
The microphone, please, longer over to Charles Horn.
Hi, Alexis. Charles.
Hello.
And I wanted to follow up on this idea of seeing reality as my partner, especially as it relates to my work and my job. I work in corporate America. Don't have to wear a suit. Don't even have to wear a tie.
Yay! Congratulations. You've arrived now. You're high enough on the pecking order. You don't have to wear a tie. My gosh, you made it.
Well, that's just the culture in the company being a San Francisco company.
Yeah, we know. Yes.
But I'm a lawyer, you know, and there's two big business units where I'm the only lawyer that's responsible for whatever legal stuff they might have to deal with. And, you know, and because they're such big business units and I'm the only lawyer, that, so I have a certain amount of fear that if something goes wrong, you know, like a legal problem or a regulatory problem, not only will the people that are higher in the pecking order blame me, because I'm the only lawyer, so I'm supposed to know, you know, what's going on. But then it'll also be like a big mess for me to have to clean up, you know, as the lead lawyer, only lawyer. And so, you know, I have been finding good results from being, how I might describe it, being proactive in visualizing and putting out energetically how I want not just my day to go, but for those two business units, like how I'll start my day is imagining the goddess as like my co-creator, just first sucking out the fear and negativity from the business units and then blowing into them this energy of prosperity, but elegance and ease and safety.
And how do you feel once you do that? If you feel better, right? You feel
Yeah, because I'm having to like imagine what that feels like myself as like it's like being part of that energy that I'm imagining the goddess is blowing into those business units, and then I'll expand it to the whole company, and then I'll expand it to the whole economy, and then I'll expand it to
my
the whole
what a gift
world.
You're giving. That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but still I have the fear, like, you know, even besides just at my own business unit level, like when we had the flash crash, you know, because my company's in the financial industry, you know, I could see on the TVs the Greek riots that were going on and watch the Dow Jones go woo, going down. And, you know, and even at that time, though, what I did was go back into my office, which I've kind of set up as like a little Zen sanctuary with fountains and crystals and mood lighting. I tend to keep the crystals a little bit hidden from normal view, but
no kidding.
But so
his suits are allergic to crystals.
So it's partly, I think my question is, like, part of it is, like, I do, like, that feels really good to project out and visualize, you know, do those kinds of visualizations. And, but there's also, like, a part of me that's in fear that if I don't do that, you know, have a flash crash or something bad's going to happen in my business unit, and I'm gonna be blamed.
Have you done that kind of thing before? Have you made a mess before and then had to kind of crawl your way out of it? And have you ever had an experience like that, in other words?
Not so much in my job, in that job. You know, in my life, yeah. But not so much from, you know, where I've been, like, got this law job to do and then... But I've seen others, you know, at the that aren't there anymore because they something went wrong and
well, that's an image.
Yeah. So I guess my question is like, well, is it part of seeing reality as my partner, friend? Is that part of it, like taking on responsibility for how do I want it to turn out, you know, or is it more just like keeping a high resonance and you know, am I like
no actually, if you do the keeping the high resonance as a way of kind of keeping that scenario away from you, that is called protectionism, right? It means it is basically that's the stage. That's an earlier stage of relationship with your reality, and where the reality is threatening and you've got to find a protection mechanism, right? And a lot of metaphysics, a lot of people in metaphysics do these kinds of things as protection mechanisms to protect themselves from negativity, to protect themselves from failure, to protect themselves from whatever, you know. And you have a tremendous fear of failure here. That's just, you know, it's an underlying drumbeat of anxiety that you're going to make a mistake and blow it and make a mess, and it's going to be a big deal, and it's going to be huge, and you could get the axe, and your whole life could change, and there you are out on the street begging for food, and you know, and you can, your psyche can get carried away with this kind of thing, because this is a huge future image that just doesn't seem to go away, but it's implying that your reality is at any moment going to turn on you. There's no safety or trust with your reality in this regard. And as you're recognizing it, now, you're bringing in the goddess. Beautiful, phenomenal energy. You're bringing in the goddess as your partner here, right? And so on a spiritual level, you're sustaining a good level of vibration. And it's a beautiful gift that you give to the world to do that, right? But as far as your connection to the world, to the, your physical connection to physical plane materiality, the goddess is not really working in that arena. The goddess is essentially creating energies that you are thereby help, by with her help broadcasting, right? So that's really good, right? You've got that going. But there's also the part of you whose self-image is that somewhere underneath there you're a schmuck. All right? You're a screw-up. And you're afraid you're going to sabotage yourself. You're going to somehow, one way or another, you're not going to be perfect, be able to cover every single basis, and you're going to fail. And that failure, you're going to see all these fingers pointing right at you. You're it. You're the problem. You got to go. You know? And so this particular thing is just, is part of the matrix of working in a corporate environment, because every employee in the corporate environment has to contend with this energy. Even if they're part of a team and they're not going to be the single person to be blamed, nevertheless, they know that their superiors are going to blame them for anything, you know? That they are going to be culpable for whatever happens, you know, and even if it's not their fault, even if it's an innocent mistake. So what you want in your relationship with your reality and relationship with your world is to understand that at the level of consciousness where you're at, that it's time for you to really rely on that even if you do make a mistake, it'll turn out okay. That it's safe for you to, you know, you're going to do your best. It's not like you're going to get lazy and sloppy or anything. No, you're very conscientious about your work quality level. So you are going to stay on top of it all. But to know that if you do make a mistake, it's all going to turn out okay. And you don't have that program in your psyche. You have the program, if you make a mistake, everything's going to collapse and fall apart, and you're going to be screwed. You understand?
Yeah, I do.
Now, that is also plugs into an old pattern of shame given you when you were a child, right? And in this pattern of shame is that if you make a boo-boo, if you make a mistake, then you are a great disappointment. How disappointment? And you have to hang your head in shame. You know, and you're embarrassed and ashamed of yourself that you screwed up, that you made a mistake, that you messed up, that you were the screw up. And so when you hold an image piece like that, where you say, I am a screw up, therefore, what does a screw up do? A screw up screws up, right? And so in a sense, you're afraid of really encountering that shame inside yourself, because you're afraid that if you pay attention to it, you're going to screw up. It's you're going to bring Mr. Screw Up to the surface, and he's going to make a mess. So you're trying to keep him at bay. It's really not about keeping, you know, those companies going or keeping the economy going or anything like that. It's really about keeping this shameful persona at bay. You understand?
Yes.
All right? And that's not your external reality. That's your internal reality. So you have complete and total power to heal that. Okay?
Yeah.
All right? So what you do is that you go to that child who is totally humiliated, totally embarrassed about his mess, whatever mistake he made. Now, what is really interesting, and we don't really expect you to go and do this type of research or whatever, but sometimes this type of shame pattern gets anchored into potty training. Now, really early, right? And there you make a mess and you didn't make it to the little potty, right? And your mother has to clean it up and she's, you know, and you can feel that, like she's like almost swearing under her breath, you know, I have to clean up this mess. You know, and look, it made a stain on the carpet. And now it can seem so simple and so quick and quickly over at the time, but the child is saying, oh, mother's disappointed in me. I did wrong. You know, now you're going to find numerous instances, every one of you, find numerous instances where you made little mistakes, little boo-boos, and your parents were either disappointed in you or you thought they were or whatever, and you were very embarrassed and very self-conscious about it, and you're so afraid of getting on their bad side and not pleasing them and all that kind of stuff, that it can set this whole energy up. And as we said, it's in the genetics. So it comes in automatically. Right? So there's no incident exactly that started it for you, but we would suggest that you visualize your child self. And that he's the one that's totally, totally scared you're going to make a mess. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And, well, your adolescent self is a bit freaked too, because your child self is freaked and you are freaked. So your adolescent self, there must be something to freak about. And therefore, I guess I need to freak too. Mm-hmm. And adolescent goes along with whatever's going on. Yeah, I'm going to freak too. And because I might be humiliated in front of everybody. People are going to dress me down in front of the group, in front of all my peers, and I am going to be so ashamed. I will have to hang my head. I'll have to leave. I can't come back. It's too embarrassing. I can't face them anymore. So the adolescent adds intensity to this. So you want to get your adolescent in there too, right? And the young adult is the one who's projecting the future. Oh, if we make a mistake now, it'll all unravel. We'll be off our track. We won't make it. We won't make it to the happiness. We need to make lots and lots of money so we can be happy. And the slave driver is trying to enforce that. So you want to get these inner voices healed. You want to get them calmed down. You understand?
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to do that right now. And we know that all of you have inner voices, have a part of yourself that is really totally messed up and will freak out at the drop of a hat, right? Or a drop of a crystal. or a drop of anything. There's like any excuse to freak out because it's out of control and they're a victim. Right? And so, we'd like to do that. And when you get that done, then what you do, and this is what we'll be doing, you'll bring in your greater self. You'll acknowledge who you are, the divine that you are. And the divine self that you are will heal them and will shine the light on them, calm them, give them what they need, and let them be at peace. Now, we're going to do more work on trust in the last segment today. But this is the critical issue here for all of you as far as living in the physical plane, is you have not been able to trust your world, your reality. You know, you have too many memories of being burned at the stake or whatever, you know, from being weird or being excluded or being excommunicated or being thrown out of the tribe to be eaten by wild animals or whatever. And so it's just too scary to even contemplate. But that shame piece has got to be healed. The shame piece has got to go. So thank you for bringing up this topic. Let's do a little process, a little technique here. Healing an inner voice. Getting comfortable, closing your eyes, pulling that curtain of privacy around you. Not a deep meditation, just a experience, an experiment, an awareness. So let yourself think about what is the scariest scenario you have. Or if you have more than one, just choose one that you think is the scariest future that might happen. All right. And just as you're paying attention to it, watch this scary future on a movie screen, like it's being projected onto a movie screen, like you've got this DVD that says the future. And underneath it, it says Dark Future Part 1. Right? You have no idea what Part 2 would be, but nevertheless, it's playing. And you see the scariest stuff. Your life is unraveling. Everything's falling apart. Everybody's rejecting you. You're being excluded, reviled, ridiculed, humiliated. People are turning their backs on you after they've pointed their finger at you. You're responsible. You're to blame. You're it. And feel how scary that is. Feel the emotional energy in your body. Feel where it is in your body that gets unsettled when you look at this scary future. And then imagine that as you're watching this film, feeling this tension in your body, let this tension in your body kind of pop out to the side of you. And the tension takes the form of your child self. The child you were at some age prior to, let's say, prior to 11, before puberty. Anywhere from birth to puberty. Imagine it. Imagine your child self. Right there, in fear. Now, to have a fear of having screwed up, making a mistake, and being judged, humiliated, rejected, blah, 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 this child is probably going to be at least about, you know, 1.5. It could be potty training. It could be at school. It could be, you know, at a camp. It could be anywhere that this child faced humiliation or ridicule, felt painfully, painfully attacked on the emotional level, took everything hard. That's the one that's freaking out right now. So you, the adult you, with the child you, go and take the child, pull the child to yourself, sit the child on your lap, and put your arms around the child, and hold the child to you. Let the child cry, moan, sigh. Hold the child with love. pour your love and compassion into that one. You know what it's going through. You know what it's afraid of. Yeah, it's in an adult scenario, as per the Dark Future Part 1. But it's the child emotions. It's the shame that the child had accepted as essential to self, substituted for the divine. If I'm the shameful, I am therefore not divine. I am not perfect. I'm shameful. It's an either or. You cannot be in shame and know your divinity at all. So feel the child in its shame. Feel its worthlessness. Feel its sense of that no one ever is going to love this child, accept it fully. Now, this is very bleak, and you didn't feel that all your childhood, but at certain moments, you went to this horrible, horrid inner place called shame. A place of relentless darkness and pain. Terrible pain. Because your energy field at that time was so contracted, it hurt. Your aura was smaller than your body. And it hurts. It's painful. So loving your child, tell your child to give you its shame. Give it to you. You're aware. You're an adult. You don't want this peace anymore festering in your inner child self. You want to give your child peace and love and safety. So request the gift of the shame from the child to you. And the child will hand you an object. It may be a box, a little box with the shame in it. It could be a dark black stone. It could be anything. Let the child give you the shame. But whatever it is, it looks marred, flawed, kind of an ugly version of something. Let yourself take this from the child. When the child looks at you anxiously, what are you going to do with that? I said, listen, little one, I'm going to keep it for you. I'm going to take it from you. You don't need to think about it anymore. I have it. You don't need to do it anymore. You don't need to have this anymore. This is not you. And the child looks at you and says, well, who am I then? And you touch the child's heart with the other hand and say, child, you're a beautiful, bright spirit, a spark of consciousness, a piece of the divine, a light being who's having a physical plane experience, who has a body and has a life. On earth, that's what you are. You're eternal. You're infinite. You just happen to be focused into a physical body right now. You're okay. You just may have made a mistake, but you are not the mistake. And as you hold this child, as you touch this child's heart, you notice above you a sky of stars. Hundreds and hundreds of stars twinkling their love at you and your child. And some of these stars come together and form a bright star that is us. And we send a beam of light down to you that when it reaches you becomes a column of light surrounding you and your child. Feel our love. Let us love you. And let us put light into your child's heart. Let us install some light there. Just notice it's starting to glow. Under your hand, you feel a warmth. You feel light. You know how it is when you hold your hand up to the sun, you see the sunlight coming through your fingers. It kind of makes your fingers kind of red, you know. Just sense that. Just light coming through your hand. Feel the warmth build in your child's heart. Forgive your child now. Forgive your child for whatever mistake or all the mistakes that your child may have done or has done or will do. And let us wash your child clean. Now you're holding some shame in the other hand. And shame is not congruent with our light. So it can't stay in there. So give it to us. Give that shame of your child to us. Just give it to us. Just throw it up into the column of light. And watch it go up and then scatter throughout the whole vortex. It's gone. And you're sitting there with your child, one hand on its heart. Now, think of that scary scenario again. A bit harder to do. But this is now your adult shame, that scenario of the future, that scary scenario. Yeah, there's still a little tension in there. There's a part of you that thinks that you can make mistakes like that. You can screw up your life. And that you cannot trust yourself to do it right. Your shame. Your current shame. Let it pop out and into that hand that is not touching your child. A new load of shame. Imagine that. Feel it get all out of all your cells of your body. Yeah, there's this one area that's tense, but it's a surrogate in a sense for the whole body. It's just the center point. Every cell has an imprint, has the memory of shame. Let that all come out into this object in your hand. Just feel it magnetically suck all the shame out of you like a dark hole in your hand. Just sucking the shame from everywhere. The dark, gunky, gooey, scary, spooky stuff. And now you have a good load of shame in your hand. It's concentrated, it's dense. That's why it looks so small, even though it can be so huge. And this shame is not congruent with us and our energies either. So let us have it. Just toss it. Let us catch it. And let us take it up It kind of rises up the column of light inside. Out of your hand. Clean. We clean your hand. And it rises and rises and rises, this shame. You are feeling freer and freer as it rises. And then, all of a sudden, it's all out, scattered across the vortex, transmuting back into light. Now let us put light into your heart. Let us talk to you about your plan, your program, you might say. You have gone through many lifetimes. You've learned a lot about manifesting and living life on the physical plane. And you and your team got together and chose for you to be here now. You were all excited about it. You were given several options. You chose this one. You wanted to be this gender. You want to be born in, at this particular time-space intersection that is your birth moment. You wanted to be born to the particular family that you were born into, with the particular genetic strains and patterns that have come down to you from generation after generation. Because they offered you the opportunity to work on your focus this lifetime. Your commission of challenge. It's a theme that you wanted to explore in more precision. Kind of like when you go to college and you get a general education, but you have a major. You have a theme. You want to major in, that you want to pay more attention to. And they were perfect for it, your family, your parents. And you decided also that by this time on the planet, as a great shift begins to emerge, that you would be at a certain age and level of wisdom to be able to take upon yourself your divine missions consciously. The mission of self-realization, your personal mission, and the mission of the global mission. Changing your reality, changing your world. Forgive yourself. You've made some mistakes, but you've actually done a really, really slam dunk job of getting here. You're okay. You're a divine light being. It's an experiment. Be creative. When you're creative, when you're doing art, you make mistakes. No artist ever starts out painting something that can hang next to a Rembrandt. You make mistakes, messes, but it's creative. You don't judge yourself and say, I'll never do art again, unless you're shamed for it. This is an experiment in life. And so far, you've created a momentum in your life. A momentum of survival, where you can survive with a certain amount of money that you do, a certain livelihood, certain ways of being. And this is an arrangement for your survival so you can start spending time on your spiritual work and on this creative play without having to continuously work on your day-to-day survival. We call it a momentum of survival. And there's a bottom line financially below which survival would be very difficult. But there's an arrangement with your team that this bottom line will be maintained You will not go beneath this bottom line. You will not end up homeless and begging on the streets. You just won't. So there are some people who do. It's not your scenario, though. Hey, maybe you've gotten close at some point in your life. But it's not your scenario. Not for the future, anyway. But this bottom line, you can rely on. You can rely that you will survive until you choose. You and your soul choose the time is up, time to go. Let us move this light deeper into your body, from your heart chakra deeper into your body. Let it expand and spread into all the cells of your body. Let yourself be loved and nurtured. We love you unconditionally. We see your mistakes, but we can see your extraordinary creativity as a divine being. At this point, you're not going to create things that are going to disturb, limit, or cancel your mission. You're just not. Let us infuse that knowing into you now. Receive. You're going to be okay. It's all going to turn out okay. You're going to survive. You're going to thrive. No matter how low you may feel today, it will get better. Your momentum, your bottom line, can rise. So let us infuse you with a memory of your choice to thrive, to succeed. Let it go into every cell and replace the shame. There's a space in every cell that held this resonance of shame. Let us fill that space up now with a knowing, the expectation of success, the safety, the trust. The plan will not fail. It just won't. You will not fail. You will succeed. As much as you may fight it or resist it, you will succeed. You will succeed. You will succeed. You're already successful more than you know and acknowledge. You are infused. So let yourself now see that whatever shame you've had, it's not part of you anymore. We took it out of the cells. It came out of the DNA of the cells. So from henceforth, the RNA, which is the replication of your DNA, DNA is your blueprint of the future, the RNA replicates the DNA around your body. It replicates that future around your body in every cell. And your new future is the knowing and the expecting of success, your personal success, your spiritual success. And the willingness to be successful. The power, the freedom, and the trust for that success. and the love for you, the divine within you. And now in your mind's eye, you see a crowd about you. Yes, there are some spirit helpers there, but in front of them are younger selves of you, every age, other than the one that you have sitting on your lap now, totally at peace, perhaps even napping happily. All the other ones. Notice that every one of them has light in their heart chakra. As you have light infused in your body, as your wisdom is infused in your body, it is also in theirs. Every age, all of them, standing around, looking at you, feeling the change, feeling the lift, the healing. We touch them all as we touch you. And all their shame lifts up and disappears. And they are clean. They are restored to innocence. Pure, clean, light beings. They're happy. Because when you are in touch with yourself, when you are you, you are happy. So let yourself now return. Hold this resonance. Okay. Before you let it go, we have an installation to do on you. We wanted to just a little state break between that one and the next one, but you're feeling different. And before you have a chance to go back and take on any old stuff, right? We ask you now, there's only a few minutes. This is, we're going to do an install of the matrix. Close your eyes again. And this time, with your eyes closed, find that center of your awareness. Follow your awareness. Be present with that point of being. Be present with you. As you are a single point in the whole universe, all that it exists is you. Just imagine this point of consciousness is all that is, and it's you. Be, experience you. Let all the thoughts just wander through like clouds, lazy, drifting clouds of very little substance. And let yourself imagine now you're in a beautiful garden. That if you were the divine gardener, you could not have created anything more beautiful. Feel the peace. This garden is drenched in peace, harmony, and love. This place is a safe place for you. even though your whole world is actually a safe place for you. You feel a particular connection to safety and trust here. It's as if all the negative patterns in your self-talk, all the old patterns of shame, all the old distractions are not here. But just a sense of emptiness filled with ecstasy. And you wonder, how can emptiness be filled but still be emptiness? Because the vibration of the emptiness is that of complete and total potential. It's the womb of the divine. Lay yourself down in this garden, perhaps on soft grass. Or in a wondrous mound of ivy or some trailing wondrous plant. Perhaps under the shade of a tree or next to a brook. Whatever your garden has, find the wonderful place, a sacred place in your sacred land, and lie there. Feel at peace. Let the thoughts just drift across your mind. From above, you see a light, a big light. This light approaches you, big, big light. A light that if it were to arrive to where you were, would swallow your whole body up and then some. Really big light. It does come closer, but it's not hot. It's cool and pleasant. Natural spectrum, beautiful frequencies. Even some that you don't see on the earth. And as you notice, it's like an LED light. You notice that it's made up of a myriad, an absolute high number of small lights. Each one of these tiny lights, these small lights within the big light, sends a beam of light down to you. So hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of beams of tiny beams of light come down and contact your body. And they enter your body and they go through your body. Let them go through your body, attuning your body to one of the dimensions. And now you notice to one side or the other, left or right, another great light. And in this light is also many, 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 many tiny lights who send a beam of light through you, through your side, all the way through your side. They cross the beams that come from the top. They go through every cell. And there's a sparkle at every cross point. All the way through you. The cleansing, the purification, the vibration. Extremely clear, bright light. And now you feel either beneath your feet or above your head as you lie there, another bright light. Once again, with 1,000 small lights, these now move from foot to head or head to foot through your body, a third dimension through you. Feel those lights, those threads of light, those beams of light move through your every cell, crossing the side beams and those from above. These are the three divine channels of expression in three-dimensional form. The love, touch, heal. The create with passion and pleasure and ecstasy. And learning and growing and knowing who you are. That self-realization. Let yourself be fully immersed in this light grid. And now coming at you from an angle, from a diagonal, there are four diagonals. Only two if you count them after they've gone through you. But coming from four directions on the diagonal. From above you on the left, above you on the right, beneath you on the right and the left. And perhaps a bit torqued diagonals. Let them come in. Let love come in. Let freedom, safety, trust, and empowerment, the matrix, let it come in, beams of light, crossing the others. And other diagonals come in. Higher octaves of love, freedom, empowerment, and safety, trust. That's it. You're a divine being, a spark of consciousness. You have come here on this planet to create from scratch. You have made mistakes, and you've learned from them to make better creations, fun creations, joyous creations. And more creations are ahead. As you express your divine nature and hold the resonance of these four pinions of the new template, there's no way to move and be outside this matrix. Allow yourself to accept this matrix for your own joy and happiness, for the sake of your missions and for the world. And now there are spiraling codes ribbons of light of every color imaginable and even colors unimaginable that descend upon you. These ribbons of light hold codes of unfoldment of your life in alignment and in accordance with this matrix, with this template. These ribbons, spiraling ribbons of color, touch you, tickle you, move into you. They keep coming, integrating from above. Deeper, deeper they go into you until they integrate and they disappear in you, deep in you somewhere. They keep coming, ribbons with codes, ancient language, star language, sigils of magic on these ribbons, these beautiful ribbons of color. The unfoldment of this template begins. And these ribbons, this download of vibration, of codes for your unfoldment, will continue coming into you, spiraling into you throughout the rest of the day and through the evening. And it will be done by the time you get up for your day tomorrow. And it is done. Let yourself bring that resonance back with you as much as you can as you come back to the room, as you open your eyes. Very gently open your eyes. Easily, gently, gently ease back into your body consciousness. And do the Galexis salute. Right? The second and third finger, put them together. Straighten them, putting them together. And put the back of them against your third eye at the top of your nose, across your forehead. Grounding to physical matter, being present, physical now. Being back in body. All right. How are you feeling? Woo! You're going to be flying to launch, yes. All right, we're having a launch break. And so when shall you be back? What? Give us the time. 3:15. We'll resume. And we'll do some manifestation alignments, right? With your future. That's going to be fun too. All right, it's a pleasure, and farewell for now.